Sure. Now, we minister to so many people, especially those that are living together, not married. And some of them have two or three or four children. Do you know you brought all these children into the world under a curse? No, I don't believe that. Yeah, we say we're Christians, we don't go to church, but, you know, we live together. I can't leave because I ain't got no place to go. I have to stay here. Do you hear those kind of things all the time? Oh, yeah, we hear it all the time. And they don't understand why they're sick and afflicted. And it, back here a while back, we had a family come from up north somewhere to a healing school. And when they got here, the daughter's boyfriend that lives with her in their house, that slept with her in the same bed with her, was here with her. And the whole family, the husband and the wife and all the children were here, and every one of them was sick and afflicted with something, and every one of them was in some kind of gross sin, and they wanted to know why their whole world's falling apart. I said, it's sin. And people just, they have such a hard time with that. Who is this young boy? Well, he's my daughter's boyfriend. I said, so you come down with her? I said, do you sleep with this girl? Oh, yeah. I said, what? Are you a Christian? Well, yeah. And no, you're not. I said, if you're a Christian, you don't know what the word says, son. The word of God says, let no sexual immorality not one time be found among my children. Not one time. What do you not understand about that? Well, I didn't know that. I said, I suggest you read the word. Isn't that something? And here they are all sick. Every one of them is having all these problems, and the whole family's living in sin of some kind. It's awful. Wow. So don't let anyone lead you astray, because they will. They'll tell you in the church, it's okay to do this. No, it's not okay to do this. Then it says, for in Christ, it says, this high sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking, from the evil powers of this world, and not from Christ. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body. In Christ. If you're in Christ, the fullness of God is living right here in you and I. This has got to be one of the hardest things for the average Christian to comprehend, that God, purity and holiness, is living inside of you, and He sees and hears everything you say and everything you do and everything you think. I mean, I remember one night a young girl that used to work for us a long time ago. She kept telling me, Mr. Scrivener, we brought her here, got her healed, everything. Her whole life changed. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, I want to hear God's voice. I said, well, honey, just ask Him, and one day when it's right, I said, you're a young woman now. I said, you know, I was way on up there in age before I heard God's voice the first time. So I said, just because you haven't heard Him, I said, doesn't mean He's not real. I said, if you'll pray and ask Him, I said, He'll talk to you. Well, one Monday morning, she came into work, and she looked a little depressed, and I said, something wrong with you? She said, Mr. Scrivener, I heard God's voice this weekend. I said, oh, praise God. She said, I didn't want to hear it. Oh, I thought you wanted to hear it. Yeah, I did want to hear it, but I didn't want to hear it the way it happened. I said, well, tell me what happened. She said, you know this nice young man I've been dating lately? I said, yes. I said, he's a fine young man. I said, you know, he's a good Christian boy. He loves God with all his heart. She said, oh, yeah, I know. But she said, you know, he's never been married. I said, yes, I know. He's never been married. I said, he and I've talked. That young boy, although he's in his 30s, he's still a virgin. He's never been to bed with a woman. She said, but you know, I have been married before. I said, yes, I know that. She said, I was married for several years. And she said, I know what a sexual relationship is all about since I've been married. So she said, the other day, I've really beginning to fall in love with him. And we were sitting there in a car, just looking out the window, talking. And said, he had his arm around me, but he's been a perfect gentleman. And he wasn't touching me nowhere he shouldn't have. And she said, I'm just sitting there. He said, he's just talking. And said, I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder what it would be like to go to bed with him. She said, I didn't say that out loud. I thought that. And she said, I heard the Lord call my name and say, Elizabeth, stop it. You are sinning. She said, I didn't say it out loud. I was thinking it only in my heart. And God called my name and told me to stop it. I was sinning. She said, so I just moved over to the other side of the car. And he said, is something wrong? She said, no, I think I just need to sit over here for a while. Maybe we ought to go in tonight. Now, isn't that something? She was really a Christian. And who was really in there? Christ. The fullness of Christ is living in there. And he knows everything you're thinking, everything you're saying, and everything you're doing. He keeps perfect record. When you learn that, you know, when you really learn that, if, as long as you can remember that, it'll change the way you do business. When you forget it, and you know how easy is it to forget? Takes a heartbeat. Now, right, Tom? You can forget it in a heartbeat. You can totally forget that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now then, it would be really nice if he could manifest and walk along beside us all the time. That would, you know, where we could see him. And every once in a while, for me, he might have to say, when I start to do something wrong, he might tap me in the side. Oh, son, oh, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot you were standing there. Y'all know where I'm coming from. Do y'all live in the same place I do? Do you have to be kicked in the side once in a while to remember that he's living in there and he's keeping good records, you know? But when you have the fear of God in your heart and you know he's there and you know that he is loving and kind, but he will judge sin. It'll change the way you do business. You know that? It did me. It will everybody. Then he says, for in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body. Wow. Verse 10 and 11. And you are complete through your union with Christ. Just think, once you become a believer and he's in you, you're totally complete. You're complete in Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. Now, if he's in charge of every ruler, every authority, principalities and powers, visible and invisible, and he lives in you, what do we have to fear as sons and daughters of God? If we walk in obedience to his word, he's in control. A devil decides to come by and get you, Kim, and you've been an obedient daughter, what's the king do? When the devil starts, saying, I'm going to get you today, and the king just reaches right out of you and says, oh, you ain't going to touch her, that's my daughter, and she's being obedient to my, you cannot touch her. And when the devil says, oh wow, oh okay, do you think he's afraid of Jesus? Oh yeah, he trembles in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus speaks to him, he trembles. The fear is in, he knows what God can do to him, and he don't want none of Jesus. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Okay, if you got saved, he cut away that sinful nature. Why is it still there in most of us? Why? I mean, is it still lurking around? Oh yeah, unfortunately, it really is. Okay, verse 12 and 13. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. Now, this is something you don't hear taught very often. And with him, you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Now then, when Christ circumcised your heart with a spiritual procedure and you died to sin and you rose from the dead out of that water, the scripture says we are not to sin anymore. Now, Kim and Scott's boys and girls, especially his boys, the two bigger ones, yeah, they're right there, they're big boys. I asked them, I taught that message the day before I baptized those boys, and I asked them after I baptized them, I said, now how many times are you boys allowed to sin now? And they both told me, how many times are you allowed to sin?
No more.
No more. How would you like to have little children like that, little boys that knows that God has said they don't have to sin no more? You raise them up like that, if they can remember that, they'll be good boys. Isn't that right? Is that the kind of children we need in our schools and everywhere else? We need little children that have been taught the Word of God, especially by their preacher and by mama and daddy, that when you come into the kingdom of God and get saved, you have the power within you not to sin no more. You can walk holy. When the devil comes up and says, oh, you need, look at that boy over. You remember how he talked to you? Just go over and punch him in the nose, blood his nose. And the boy says, oh, yeah, devil, let me do that. He goes over and gets him around the neck and said, I want to tell you how much I love you. And the devil says, that's not what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to punch him out. He said, but I'm a Christian. I'm going to love him. You know, it won't be long till the devil stops bothering that boy. You know that? Because every time he tries to get him to do something wrong, he does something nice. Is that the battle that's going on? Sure. Absolutely. That's the battle that's going on. And whenever we learn that we're children of God, like these two young boys are learning, they're children of God. They don't have to sin no more. Wow. I wished I'd have known that when I was their age. Oh, I wished I'd have known that when I was their age. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. Verse 14 and 15. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Christ. Now, think about what this just says. In Colossians 2, verse 14 and 15, Jesus canceled the record that contained the charges against us. In other words, you had lied, you had stole, you had cheated, you had committed adultery. I mean, you had done all the things. You had murdered, whatever. Now, then Satan, you have every door open to Satan and his host of demons. Is that a good place to be? No, it's not a good place to be to have all these sins. In other words, it would be just like out here on the highway. So you broke the speed limit every time you went down the road and they stopped and gave you a ticket. You had four or five tickets now beginning to add up, and you decided to stop and rob a grocery store. Then you decided to go and rob a bank, and then somebody in the bank didn't do just like you wanted, so you just kill him. Now you're guilty of murder. I mean, you got so many doors open to the police, you ain't going to get along. You ain't going get by very long. Somebody gonna come get you. Is that right? And when they come get you, now if you've done all these things, you might get the death penalty, right? Or you might get life or something. But you're gonna get punished some way, right? Now then, That's exactly what the deal was with us. Did you ever get angry with anybody? You're guilty of murder. Did you ever look at somebody to lust for them? Oh, you're guilty of adultery. You know, were we guilty? Oh, yeah, we guilty. I'm telling you. When somebody says, well, I ain't never done that. Let me tell you, you're a liar too now. So you're guilty of everything. You know, I mean, you're you just can't be nothing but a lying, thieving, cheating, committing adultery, murder, right? I mean, and so the door's open. So Jesus came and paid the price for all them sins. Now, the devil has legal right to torment you, kill you, make you sick, and afflict you. And he's doing it to a lot of us. And then because he has legal right to do all these things because of our sins, Jesus came and he paid the price. And when we come into the kingdom of God, how many of those sins did he forgive? Now, is that good news? He forgave all of our sins. When he forgave all of our sins, we were cleaned up and made white. Now then, when the devil, the police officer, came back to look at you, he says, hey, what happened to you? I mean, you were guilty of everything yesterday. According to my record, it says you ain't done nothing. Now, is that a good place to be? Very. So he says, goodness, I would have sworn yesterday that had stuff all the way down on it, but today it's clean. So you're not guilty of nothing. So he said, well, okay, you're free to go. Now, is that what Jesus done for us? That's exactly what that scripture says. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. Did we have any charges against us? Oh my goodness gracious alive. We had so many, I don't even want to know. I don't even want to count them. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. I mean, he took that list, he tucked that thing, wadded it up, washed it in his blood, and throwed it away. Cleansed it and purified it totally. And in this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Christ. So when the devil comes back, he says, gee, I can't get Thurman for nothing. He's clean. Is that a good place to be? I don't want to be where the devil, when he comes back and said, oh, I see a sin in your life. You don't want to be there, do you, Pat? Now, you don't want the devil to have legal right to you, do you? No, nobody does. So then why do we go out and sin? We go out and sin not realizing that it opens a door to the devil. I mean, Paul told us, you know, clearly in 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, we are not unaware of the devil's ways, so make sure you forgive everybody for everything because we're not unaware of his ways. Now, what is the devil's ways when you hold a grudge against somebody? What does it say in the scripture? Who's going to send the devil to torment you if you hold a grudge against somebody? It says God will, the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment you if you hold a grudge against somebody. So now then, if you forgive that person because of what Jesus did on the cross, then the Father won't send that devil.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Faith Stuff Really Works, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.